meeting to order. And, do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
I will make a motion to second that, sir.
All right, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Shit, I think,
he's not moved.
Hopefully not.
We've got a lot less resolution to move through.
Yeah,
that was a police topic session.
Yeah.
It all worked out.
It all worked out.
And we're all still friends, look at that.
Yeah.
We're out beating the face slapping.
Yeah. It's good helping the face.
Yeah.
So, we'll start with resolution 191.
I'll move it.
I'll second. All righty, it's approved execution of contract by $50,000 with the family of Woodstock. This is for pins and JP case management.
Yeah.
Difficult trust keeping.
One thing, I'm looking at the backup, I'm looking at the scope of services.
Mm-hmm.
What are the qualifications for a caseworker who has to handle PINS cases? It doesn't define what the qualifications are. Is it a social worker, or is it, NSW, or BS in social work? How come certain contracts within the county have specifics about who's handling what? What profession? If it's a professional service, it's got to be, I'm assuming, a licensed professional, like a social worker. I don't know that in this. We're giving our PINS cases to family, but we don't know what the caseworkers are. What are their qualifications?
We're
just going to throw, how much is it? $93,000?
$94,000. 11%.
It's a double standard of why some contracts, they browbeat the agency and says, you need this, you need to be this, you have to be certified in that, you have to be certified in that. The only thing that tells me if there's any certification is that there's an aftercare case manager, whatever that means. We shall work with you and have received a person to lead a supervision.
Mm-hmm.
I'll vote yes on this because I'm sure that we need this and we don't have a backup plan if this fails. But I guess I just want to bring to the surface the hypocrisy in some of these contracts.
Yeah, that's in other contracts. That's a good question.
Awareness, for instance.
Awareness.
Yes. I think it talks to the discussion that's been brought up before. That pretty much you're the, let's say, the primarily draws out these type of observational thoughts, by the way, of other people, is that there's very limited competition locally for these types of services.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't want to use the word monopoly, but it's just a lack of
resources.
Yeah, a lack of multiple bidders through the RFP process for, many of these social service type contracts.
Yeah.
So, and then when we have to subcontract out and go out of state to Pennsylvania or Massachusetts or go to Westchester County for specialized type things for PINS type cases,
mm-hmm.
It's very costly.
I understand that, and I do understand also that the Department of Social Services used to handle all of this. PINS, MINS, minors needed supervision, coordinated services, we handled mental health. Now, so what we've done to save money is to contract to agencies that pay their employees squat to do the same thing that our employees used to do. So we're really not even helping the economy out because these people are working for nominal salaries and doing, yeoman's work.
Anything further?
Call a question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we will move on to resolution 199. Authorize the chairman of the Wilson County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Department of Health. And this is to continue the regional program. April of this year to, give March of 2019. So move for discussion?
We'll get stuck in.
Okay. These funds are primarily to support provisions of human
grading treatment, I think, there's collection and shipping. I think for a pet quest as well. And the appropriate is $80,390.
I know in at the last NYSAC committee meeting, it was a resolution in support of the state paying for rabies testing and rabies, I think there was a, what do you call it, the inoculation vaccine for people who work with animals, like veterinarians, veterinarian assistants, and things like that. Because I guess, I mean, those people have a higher rate of being subjected to rabies because, you know, animal control officers and things like that. So I don't know, I don't know how this program works. You get bit by a nocturnal animal during the day, and then you go to your doctor or you go to the health department. I mean, how does the money get given? How do they get to the person who needs it if that's the case? I know it's only $30,000 or more appropriated budget, but I just
don't know how over the next 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's supposed to have health insurance, right?
Yeah.
They get bit by an animal, a rabid animal, go to your doctor, and they give you a rabies shot. Well, what do they give you?
The thing is, provides resources to pet vaccination clinics as well. So,
oh, okay.
That's where some of the costs that we are going. And then, yeah, education, prevention, awareness, advertising. So.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Alrighty, we will move to Resolution 200. It's amending the 2017 budget to accept and receive funding from the New York State Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. This is where I've got a two-page call that just nod. Do you want to move it? Move for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second. Okay. 2% call adjustment. Passed $3, not much, $1,731, and there's no coming matching. Just some additional funds.
It's an additional state mandate for cost of living.
Yeah, at least they're paying for
those. No, right. Yeah. Whereas our employees have to have a union to pay their union dues in order to get a raise.
Any discussion, questions, concerns, comments? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
It is 2%. I went out on Saturday. We're kind of home.
Stay home, but I got to work in the morning. All right. Business,
old business.
Anybody have anything to share?
Chairman, I'll pay for the record. Do you have previous votes?
Thank you, Legislator.
Just a point of order on some new business. You know, I've been researching the Affordable Care Act and researching what people say about Medicaid. Okay, and I'm at the infancy of my discovery, but what I have discovered is that what has happened with the Affordable Care Act is that Medicaid has really become managed care, and what used to be determined by the government is now determined by insurance companies. So, I'll give you an example, because I have a, my spouse is in healthcare, and actually their facility is being nickeled and dimed by the managed care programs in the United States, because somebody needs, let's give an example, somebody needs rehabilitation for a brain injury. So the managed care insurance company you know, that they have their insurance with, looks at it and says, we're not going to allow this type of treatment, and send it back as no treatment. Meanwhile, the patient is already there at the center. So the center has to pay for their daily bed rate, but they're not going to get rehabilitation. They're not going to get any kind of physical therapy or occupational therapy. What used to be was when you had your insurance through Medicaid, you know, when you either had Part A or Part B and then regular Medicaid if you were indigent, the government would pay the doctor after the doctor rendered the services. Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore. What we have in this country now is the insurance company saying no. And the reason why they're saying no is because they're looking at it in a dollars and cents thing. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make a lot of money on this rehabilitation of this patient. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend the money for this facility, for this guy to get this, and then we're going to get reimbursed peanuts from the federal government. Nah, denied. And the federal government does not look at these managed care things and say, you know, these are the guidelines that you have to follow. So I thought that was very interesting. When people tell me that millions of people in this country are going to lose their health insurance if we repeal and replace Obamacare, right now they've got health insurance, and a lot of it is being denied. And a lot of it's for services that are specialized, like traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. And so we have a facility here in our county that's hurting because they're fitting the bill for a patient who comes in. They start doing their treatments. When managed care tells them now we're not paying for it, they've lost the money that they've already put in, and now they've got a patient in their facility. What do they do with it? That's really unacceptable.
So when you're using the term managed care, you mean like a conjoint policy? So one of those like joint where it's like...
Well, let's say you go to the insurance marketplace and you get the basic plan, you know, whatever that costs you or whatever. And your spouse has a car accident with an anoxic brain injury, okay? And she's in the hospital and they transfer her to the Northeast Center for Traumatic Brain Injury and Rehabilitation. And they put her right away. I mean, she needs this, she needs that, blah, blah, blah. And then they go to her insurance company, which is Medicaid, managed Medicaid, and waiting for the determination as to whether or not they're going to pay her bill. And 9 times out of 10, in a specialized thing like that, they don't. I have a person who I've been talking with, and maybe in the future I'd like her to come to the committee meeting and explain it, because she can explain it a lot better than I can. Explain it from the point of view of a private healthcare facility who is dependent upon Medicaid to pay them after they've rendered services to a person who, you know, either is on Medicaid because they're indigent or because they bought into a plan and the plan is now saying no. So I thought that was an interesting
thing. Then what do they do, the person that needs the services? They just send them a bill of
$100,000? No, they eat the money. But they can't get the money from somebody because they started the treatment in more of a compassion type of thing. They can't just let this person vegetate in the bed.
They can't leave?
I'm not sure. That's why I think this person, I'm not going to name her name yet, because I'm going to ask her if she wants to come. She can explain it much better than I can. But I'm sure if we asked David Scarpino to come in here, he would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you asked anybody from Kipsey area, they'd probably say the same thing, that their hospitals and their managed care facilities are losing money, or at least not getting recouped for the money that they're spending.
Well, I know it's a problem with for-profit insurance companies with plans where there's a third party that's supposed to be quote-unquote neutral and impartial on decisions that makes they determine whether or not you get the certification for the continuation of services like physical therapy or like specialized type, you know, physical therapy, occupational therapy for head trauma, issues like that, or any type of physical or occupational therapy. And they'll give you an authorization for like one day at a time or three or four days, and a lot of times a patient, you know, is going to need minimum of 2.5 or 3 weeks. You know, that's just to start out. And yet, they won't give a blanket authorization for that from the beginning, and they just do this.
Well, there's something wrong with this system right now when you could take a $60 cab ride, compliments of interstate Medicaid, but you can't get denied rehabilitation for your anoxic brain injury. $60 cab ride that the county pays.
Thank you.